Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Hello and welcome to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9, and thank you to That Sports Show. We're with you for a half an hour, the first week of the finals. I'm Danae and I'm a docker. And please forgive me.
You've got to stop saying that because you're not getting pity from anyone. No, you know that.
Motty.
Motty, yes.
You're a bomber.
Yep.
And we'll talk about the Bombers having some players back later in the program. We will also be talking to one of the great journalists in Australia, Caroline Wilson, about football and other things, and recap the first week of the finals of the AFL season 2016, a brief preview of the VFL Women's Grand Final coming up, and this weekend's finals. So,
Chocker's show as usual.
As always. So, Motty, I'm not quite sure how the Bomber and the Docker got to be in charge tonight. Our skipper, who is one of the Hawks of the Chicks Talking Footy crew, I think she's before the match review panel at the moment and is waiting to be heard. So I'm not sure she's going to take an early guilty plea and go from 2 weeks to one.
Yes, like Jono.
Well, what do you think of Steve Johnson? So that was the Greater Western Sydney game.
Yes, on the weekend, and I think he's lucky.
You think Steve Johnson's lucky to get 1 week?
Yeah, I think 1 week, you know, I think that's good. And I think the way GWS played, he will have no problem playing another game for them this year. They were unbelievable. We've sort of merged going into now talking about the games, so we might as well.
Why not?
They were unbelievable. It was, you know, tight till half time, and I don't know what was said at half time to both teams, but GWS were spectacular. They were who they'd been earlier in the year when they were blowing sides away, and everyone all over the ground was clean with the ball. They ran with it.
They have great skills, don't they?
Sydney had a couple of injuries, sure, but they didn't look in the same league. And I've been thinking for the last 10 weeks that Sydney would be the premiers, and after watching that I don't think so much anymore.
Well, we'll soon see, won't we? I think almost any permutation is still available to us, so we can't say
sure is
who is likely, but
North are gone.
No, and Eagles.
Hopeless.
So yeah, it was 5-9 to 5-8 at halftime, the GWS v Sydney game, and Sydney only kicked a couple of goals in the second half, and the Giants kicked on.
Yeah, they did.
But the final started on Thursday night in Perth, where after a week's bye, where everyone had a little rest, which gave a lot of Western Bulldogs a bit more time to recover. And they went on a mission to the West.
A long flight.
And came home with the goods, didn't they?
I did not expect it. I wanted it because I think the Bulldogs, in some ways, like St Kilda, often is the team that everyone quite likes to have in their second or third pick.
Can I interrupt there to say that I spoke to a Bulldogs fan the other day, and he said he understands that sentiment, and that's because they haven't won anything for a long time, so nobody hates them much.
maybe that's it.
That's a fair point, isn't it? They haven't taken anyone's spot, but this could be the year.
And I just was reminded watching it from the word go that why I love finals.
Yeah.
Because it's like the rest of the season didn't exist.
Yeah.
They were, both teams, going in so hard, but the Bulldogs were like someone we hadn't seen for weeks and weeks and weeks. Caleb Daniel, who was a tiny fella and was stunning, I can only say, as a player. He was in everything, and he reads the play and he gets to the right spot.
Which we've
and he
heard
knows all that. Just, you know, amazing.
Yeah. So if you haven't seen the Big Bank mini-me ad series with all the players and the young versions of those players, the Caleb Daniel story is absolutely gorgeous. And I've forgotten what the young girl's name is now, but the little story that goes with that is absolutely beautiful.
Is that about his helmet?
Yeah.
Yeah, Yeah, his mum gave it to him in under nines, and she said, "If you're going to, something like this, isn't it? If you're going to play football, you have to wear this helmet." And he has since.
Yep, and he's a terrific player.
Yeah, he's just kept wearing it.
Would you pick him up if he was available to you in the draft?
Yes.
Well, too late, Bomber.
Yeah, wouldn't you though?
Well, I would have. I like footballers who read the play. Who doesn't?
Yeah, great.
Okay, so the other game, the Friday night, and I wish our Hawks were here to talk about an epic battle at the G.
I'm glad they're not.
I don't have the scores in front of me. Marty, have you got the scores?
Yeah.
So Geelong and Hawthorn played an absolute cracker of a game. It never blew out, and Isaac Smith had a shot after the siren when they were still a couple of points behind and missed.
Yeah, I mean, that was a very gettable goal. It's not his fault. There was issues going back. I think it was, Bruce, I think, kicked into the man on the mark when he should have got clean possession. They should have won. They Motlop kicked 3 points in a row or something like that, and from one of the kickouts, Hawthorn got it possession all the way back down to the, their goal where it ended up in Smith's hands, and he missed it. But it was an arm wrestle. The 4 minutes I saw, because yeah. I was out, I was away and I was out and I came back to where I was staying and I ran in and I just turned the television on having not seen the score and my, jaw just dropped and so I saw a pretty good 4 minutes.
Yep, it was another cracking game between Geelong and Hawthorn. And then Saturday it was the Giants in Sydney and then it was Adelaide and North Melbourne to round it off.
Yeah, I didn't see it and by the looks of it, not unhappy about that.
No.
I mean, Eddie Betts got six. That's great. He's done it about 10 times this year.
And I think he was voted the player of the round for the first week of the finals.
Was he?
Yep.
Oh, good on him. I'm in love with Eddie at the moment.
Well, who isn't?
Yeah. Beck Dahl loves him. She's our colleague here at CTF.
My girlfriend's loved him since he was a blue bagger. So, I mean, that's a long-term love affair. Adelaide move on. Norths are gone. The Bulldogs move on to play the Western Bulldogs.
Play the Hawks. On this Friday night. Yep. That will be awesome at the G. And then Sydney versus Adelaide on Saturday night.
And as I say,
at the SCG.
It could go any which way but loose.
Well, the SCG works for Sydney because it works for Buddy, who on the smaller ground can really roam around that 50 arc and does his most damage there. So hopefully for them, that works.
Well, this is the time of year I'm really glad I don't tip because I have no idea. Anything could happen.
But it doesn't matter, because none of us ever have any idea.
No, that's true. That's true. I tell you what we did have an idea about, that Dangerfield would win the most valuable player of almost every competition. So the AFL coaches and the AFL players have dubbed Dangerfield the most valuable player in the competition this year. And how many votes did he win by?
Oh, gazillions. 1,369. I've written it down because it is quite extraordinary. To Dangerfield. And then basically Daylight. Rory Sloan, 443. Dustin Martin, 297. And then the coaches award, same order, different voting structure, but same order.
Yeah.
I'd love to know if that happens very often, but...
He's a terrific player.
I hazard a guess it doesn't.
Terrific player.
Amazing. As I've said before, he's a Rolls Royce.
He is.
He just really turns it on.
Well, he's a Rolls Royce with a Big Mac truck engine or something.
Yeah.
Or totally. A revved up muscle car that goes forever. Speaking of brilliance, Daisy Pierce won the VFL Women's Fairest and Best Competition Player for the seventh time. Now she's won the best player in the league.
No.
How good is that?
It's awesome. I know you guys talked about the women's game between the All-Stars, the Bulldogs and Melbourne last week, and I wasn't on, but I was struck by her again as someone who reads the play. You and I are big fans of that sort of thing, and I just thought she was in the right place at the right time always. So no wonder she won seven in a row.
Yeah.
Can't wait to see her play next year.
No, it's exciting, isn't
Katie
it?
Katie Brennan's my other favourite. Can't wait to see her. She's so gutsy.
Well, Katie Brennan was in the team of the year.
She was, you're right.
And another of our favourites, Mel Hickey.
Yeah.
So And, of course, my hope was the full forward, because she kicked 104 goals for the St Kilda Sharks this year. The team is brilliant, and you will see a lot of them playing, not all of them, because some of the Eastern Devils and Diamond Creek players were picked in the team of the year, but you'll see a lot of them in the Darebin Falcons versus Melbourne Uni Muggers grand final for the VFL Women's Comp at Coburg on Sunday afternoon at 2:30, so get along.
Okay, excellent. Let's do that. So,
okay, it's a date. Look, yeah. We do this on air, don't we?
We do. Yeah. There's don't you know our partners aren't listening, so that's okay.
Well, not no. Okay.
Bombers. Well, when we say Bombers, it's also the two Port Adelaide and any of the guys that were turfed out for a year from through the Essendon. Drug situation, were allowed back into their clubs today.
Yeah.
So I saw Dyson Heppel was interviewed coming back in, and he was lovely and even. And I saw Jakey Carlisle had tweeted, done a great tweet thanking a lot of people. Paddy Ryder just put, "I'm back," and things like that. But I read a really interesting thing that they're allowed to go back today, but they're not allowed to take any direction from coaching staff.
Okay.
Other players telling them about, any sort of direction for their fitness.
Okay, so they're like that. Able to use the facilities.
Yeah, so they're just allowed to use. They're going to the gym.
So they can park in the car park.
And they can and probably
order a cappuccino.
Yeah, buy another scarf, and that's about it. It's weird. Yeah, anyway, but look, I'm delighted, and I think I'm delighted for all those guys for whichever team they play in. I think that they've really done their penance and. And I look forward to seeing them all back there. And
I bet you do.
Yeah.
I reckon you're in a winning situation.
We'll see.
So our Tiger has sent us a message, 0427JOY949. You can do the same. Can Hawks and or Swans now win the Premiership? Well, not both of them at the same time, obviously, but having to win three games now in a row in the finals. Good question. From our resident Tiger, who's happy to have Barmy home. And I think we might talk about... Neil Baum going back to the Richmond Tigers with our guest up shortly on Chicks Talking Footy.
I'm Melissa Hickey from the Melbourne Demons, and you're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9.
You're with Danae and Susanna here on Chicks Talking Footy, where that's exactly what we do for half an hour. Caroline Wilson is chief football writer for Melbourne's Age newspaper and one of Australia's top football journalists. She's been breaking stories for many, many years. Some have got her into hot water and others have earned her Walkley Awards. Welcome to Chicks Talking Footy, Caro. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, Susanna. Hi, Danae.
G'day.
Delighted to have you on, and I'm going to go with a Richmond question straight off because one of our colleagues who's not here has a great interest in Richmond. So we know that you were a barracker at a young age from Richmond, and your family all were. Was that ingrained into you? Was it like a religion? Did your dad force it upon you?
I can't remember anything but Richmond. I can't remember a time when I didn't sort of love football and didn't love the Richmond Football Club. I suppose my earliest memory of... equating Richmond with success and happiness was when I'd just turned seven and Richmond had won the 1967 grand final. And I'd been at a friend's house over the weekend and I came home on the Sunday. I don't think I must have gone to the game. And Dad, although he wasn't president then, we had a party in our back garden at our house in Armidale. And all the players were there. And by the time I got home, the only players left that I remember were Fred Swift and Alan Ball Richardson, who was in Overshow's dad.
Yep.
And I remember they sat me and my little brother on their knees and sang us the Mickey Mouse Club song. I just have this sort of surreal memory of a spring night in our, back garden and these two very happy footballers, looking back, probably had a few drinks. And they were so nice to us and it was a joyous sort of spring evening and the sun was setting. And that was to me when probably the legend of the Tigers was born. And it was a good time because, they continued over the next few years to have great success.
Oh, more than few. You had a great time, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. But we were never sort of told you have to barrack for Richmond. Mum had been an Essendon supporter growing up. And as she explains it, when he was born in the late 30s. And in the late 50s, the way he explains it, as I said, I think John Coleman was like the closest thing to a rock star in Melbourne in the late 50s that existed. And he adored the Bombers. But then, of course, he married Dad, and Dad barracked for Richmond. Gone onto the board. Yeah, he got onto the board in the early 60s, and she fell in love with the club too, and we all did. My sister was more of a fanatic than me. She was actually in the cheer squad.
Awesome.
I was older and cooler in my own mind. But I did love the Tigers, and I do remember, and I tell this story often, but we were literally told on Sunday nights when Disneyland came on, you know, as it did in every house, on Channel 7 at 6:30 on a Sunday night, that we were luckier than all the American kids who went to Fantasyland and Frontierland because we could go to Tigerland. And Dad used to tell us that quite a lot. And
oh, that's beautiful.
A bit of a family story. But we actually sort of believed that there was something mythical and magical about Tigerland.
Well, there sort of is, isn't there, really? I think so. The red and black stripe. Yep. The yellow and black striking colours, and
please,
the
yeah. definitely not red and black.
No, sorry about that.
No, look,
and the big image of the tiger, and
even this year, girls. I mean, you look at they've had an appalling year. I don't think I could honestly say, and this isn't just a disgruntled supporter speaking. This is hopefully a reputable football writer. They haven't really had one game where they've been convincing for a whole game, and yet they've got more than 70,000 members. I mean, that is a phenomenal number. And I know members can be exaggerated, and some of them only pay a rather small amount of money to be members
one
for three
game
games or whatever. But their crowds have still been good, and probably not as good as they would have hoped. In fact, I'm sure the club will lose money this year for the first time in many years. But they have had an amazing following of people, and that's why they can't really be surprised when there's so much anger and disenchantment and, as we see now, rebellion and almost revolution, when they don't have success after so much has been promised. So, yeah, I think there is. I think there is something mythical about the Richmond Football Club, and although I can't love them now the way I did as a kid, I still have something deep within me that would love to see them succeed. Partly because as a journalist, I think it would be a great story.
It really would be. I mean, when you hear lots of people say when the big clubs are up and going, that's, that everyone's out and about. So you then going into, I'll fast forward several years, but into football journalism after doing your degree. I think you did entertainment for a while and other things, but then into the football. So that has then really dramatically changed the way you experience the game, or has it?
It has. I mean, I think you said to me when we talked about what we were going to discuss, you'd seen me at the footy about 20 years ago singing the song with great gusto, Susanna, is that right?
I did, that's exactly right.
Yep, sprung. Well, yeah. Once in a while, I do have a tradition that I don't want to ever give up. And since Richmond and Carlton playing on the Thursday night to open the season has become a tradition, I do go still with my mum and my best friend and her mum and our daughters. And when Richmond does beat Carlton, I allow myself to sort of... It's become tougher over the years, I must say, because you do feel like a bit of a dork. And even in the MCC members, people do recognise you and, heckle and all that sort of stuff, which does not bother me at all. But I get a bit, upset when, my late 70s-year-old mother is sort of sitting next to me. But no, I do like to celebrate that one time of the year. I probably don't sing the song with gusto anymore. I reckon if they won the flag, I might. I'd probably be in the press box, so I couldn't. And I'm one of the people who has set about trying to ban people barracking in the press box. But I do, I suppose I live in some visceral way through my eldest daughter, Rose, who's now just turned 26 and loves the Tigers and has followed them and never seen any success. I mean, by the time I was 20, I'd witnessed 5 premierships. She's witnessed, Richo and a couple of tragic losing finals, or maybe one winning final. So I would love for her to see a Richmond premiership, but it's not the same, because when you write about it, you do fall in love with other clubs and their stories and the people who run those clubs. Football is made up of some amazing people. And, a few years ago, I just adored the Port Adelaide story. They were so down on their knees, and and to, you know, almost beat Hawthorn in the preliminary final and make a grand final under Ken Hinckley, and what their new CEO and that coach and Travis Boak, and how they got themselves to the Adelaide Oval. You know, I love that story.
Yeah.
You fall in love with those stories, and you see your own club that you support as a kid make some terrible mistakes. And so it's not the same, I have to say, but, you know, small price to pay, I guess, for a great
sure.
job.
Caro, at 18, you were probably watching Richmond play winning finals and flags. If you were 18 today, would you be thinking about playing in the National Women's League next year?
Oh, God, no. I was so hopeless at sport. Yeah. I was the one who was, with two other of my best friends at school, last picked on every team, you know, from year seven or form one until we stopped doing sport, which in those days was probably in about year 10, or certainly with my group, we started playing cards then and we did no sport at all. So no, I've never had any interest in it. My daughters have both played it at school and I would be very happy to see them play it, although I do worry about the physicality, and I've spoken to a few blokes whose daughters have been drafted by clubs and friends of those daughters who are, you know, mild concerns, not for the real stars, the real stars of the competition, but those who have not making up the numbers, but are just very good athletes. So, no, it wouldn't have been me. I was always the one who wanted to write about it and describe it. And I've said this many times in the past, but I think being not great at sport, I mean, I do enjoy it. I've, you know, always played a bit of tennis and I love exercising, but I was never any good at competitive sport, even though I tried and loved it and wished I had been. I don't... That's never something that really interested me at all.
They are the great. They are some of the great stories of the football year in 2016, though, the women's games and the profile of the competition.
They are. Yes.
It was amazing. I'm not sure if you got there, Caro, or saw any of it on television, but the game out of at Witten Oval was really a spectacular thing to be part of, and I was part of it by sitting in the grandstand. It was really extraordinary. Yep. And they were so athletic, those players. And it is all-stars, so it's a bit different. But they were like the rugby sevens almost. They were really...
Yeah, the standard was obviously of a level we won't see in all the games when the Women's League next year. But, you know, it purely selfishly as a journalist, you know, when I was writing about football in the 80s and the 90s and I guess by the 90s, and I did other things along the way, as you said, but there was always a, you know, back then, and even in the early 2000s, if you got a good story, you could be pretty confident that even if you didn't write it that day, it would hold because you had it on your own. There is so much competition now for news and good features and good ideas, basically, because so many people love this game and want to write about it and broadcast, etc.
It's a wonderful game, isn't it?
It is a one. It's the best game in the world.
I agree.
But what I'm saying is, now that you've introduced this whole new league, and yes, it's a lot smaller, and yes, there's only eight clubs, and it's completely boutique at the moment. I mean, it's not going to be something that rates its socks off every week. There's so many more stories to write about, and when the AFL actually asked me to go, which was a great honour, on their women's advisory committee that, you know, includes people like Simone Wilkie, the commissioner, and Susan Alberti, etc. At first I thought yes, and then I went no, because I won't be able to write anything because I'll be conflicted. I mean, I'll be hearing about stories, and I want to be able to write about it, even though I'm not the only one at the age who wants to. But and the girls I've met and the women I've met, and the fact that, you know, for so long culturally there just hasn't been, in my view, enough women in senior positions in the game, and not only are we going to get these great athletes performing in football, but so many of them will, I think, contribute to the social sort of fabric of the game as well through, you know, Daisy Pearce is going to end up being fantastic as an administrator or a commentator or a footy journo, whatever she decides to do, and she's one of about 20 I could just reel off. So
it's just
going to introduce more women into the game in all areas, not just playing, which is great.
Caroline Wilson, we could talk to you about football for a lot longer, but unfortunately we're not allowed to. So thank you very much for for being a Chick Talking Footy tonight on Joy 94.9.
Thanks, Caro.
Thanks, ladies. I'm glad we finally got there. Good night.
Caroline Wilson, senior football journalist at The Age, and so much more. And we could really talk to her about football and listen to her talking about football for a lot longer. But that's pretty much all we have time for right now. Quickly, Molly,
yes.
Briefly, the finals ahead of us.
I love it. Look, I tell you, I just get a real spring in my step. I just love this time of the year. We talked before about games coming up. The Hawthorne Western Bulldogs.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I don't know. Go Bulldogs.
I know you say you don't tip. This is not tipping. This is discussing what we think. That sounded aggressive, didn't it? It wasn't meant to.
Sometimes I think football teams, like any sporting team, need to really get a roll on. And I think the Western Bulldogs have that. So
I do. After seeing them last week, I do. And I think they're looking a little tired, the Hawks, unfortunately, for them, but not for the rest of us, because who really wants 4 in a row?
Well, lots of us in strange ways. Sydney, okay. Adelaide?
Sydney, I think, have to win that. It's in Sydney. It's at the SCG, which is, you know, their ground. They will not have Kurt Tippett or Mills, and they won't have... Who was the third?
Tippett,
and I think Josh Kennedy, there'll be a little question mark over him.
Well, we'll talk about the results of all that next week on Chicks Talking Footy. Thank you, Malcolm. Thank you, Moddy. Thank you, Caroline Wilson. Heave ho.
I'm Jason Twizel McSheen from the Purple Bombers, and you're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.